chains were loose. And they sang, I bless your name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for granting us another good opportunity, O Lord, to come and worship you, O Lord, because we are a people of worship. We were made to worship, O Lord. That's why, even when we were still away from you, not knowing you, there was something in us that was pushing us to find something to worship, O Lord. That's why to quench that thirst, oh Lord, we went worshiping stars of football. Yeah. We went worshiping movies. We went worshiping stars of music and cinema, oh Lord, because there was something in us that wanted to worship, oh Lord. That's why we could spend Sundays, all days in stadiums, singing, praising, worshiping, oh Lord. Why? Because there was that deep in us calling for a worship, O Lord. But the day we discover the real subject for our worship, O Lord, Heavenly Father, we found satisfaction. That's why we can't stay at home on a Sunday. That's why our hearts burn within us, O Lord, pushing us to come to church, to meet with one another, to fellowship with you, O Lord. That's why, Heavenly Father, as we are gathered, O Lord, let us really let our souls loose. Let our body lose into worship, O Lord. Let not look at our neighbors, O Lord. Let us express, O Heavenly Father, what the desire of our heart is to worship you. And at the end of the service, let us go satisfied, O Lord. O Heavenly Father, the same way we were happy when we are coming out of a stadium when our team has won the match, O Lord. This is a million times better, O Lord. When we come out of here, O Lord, and our team have gained more ground on sin, O Lord. Our team have conquered more doors of the enemies. We'll go out worshiping and praising, O Lord, and our souls satisfied. We praise you. Take now control of the service. Bless the preaching of the word. Bless the reading. Bless the singing. Bless everything that will be done. Let it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. And welcome to the house of the Lord. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Did I say anything wrong? We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's a greeting. We need to accept it. Amen. Amen. Don't be upset when someone greets you, especially in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we are so grateful to the Lord for standing here again this morning. Friday, I was not feeling well. I was not really sick, but I was just weak. I went to bed for maybe half an hour to rest a little bit and then wake up and come, but it was as if there was a magnet on the bed. I couldn't, there was some kind of heaviness on my head and stuff, yeah, but praise the Lord that he's the strength giver. And the trip to Belgium was well as well. I was with Brother Aurelien. I think he's coming in August or something like that. So him and his family were greeting you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And they sent in Belgium, in Brussels, in Charleroi, and many other places, they were greeting you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. So let's read Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ. If the sister can project it, because I don't have my glasses, I can see two lines instead of one. So, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. 7. Neither because they are all the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. If you can remember, this is the scripture we were reading last time we were having our Sunday school standing here. So we thank the Lord for the good lessons we have had for the last few weeks. Brother Wilmore, Brother Maxwell, very good topics they have developed, and I really, really enjoyed them. And it's always good to sit and listen. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. But today we are going to go back to our topic about the children of promise. But we are going to take a It's a continuation anyway, but we are going to take a little bit a different, another angle of it, talking about the faith of the royal seed of Abraham. If I can have my slides. Do you have them, Sister Dash? Yeah. So we are, as we have read, it's the children of the it's not the children of the flesh that are counted as the seed of Abraham, but the children of the promise. And we need to, last time we were looking at what made the difference between the children of the flesh and the children of the promise. In verse 5 of the scripture we have read, the Bible just says that it was to Israel that Christ was sent. It was to them, because Paul is a bit worried, he's sorrowing about his people, his brethren, his kinsmen, because they didn't partake of the, you know, the blessing of the adoption. They didn't partake of the spiritual blessing of Abraham in Christ, who was sent to them. Said it was to them that he was sent. To them belonged adoption. To them belonged all the promises. But they didn't partake of it. They didn't benefit of it. Why? Because they were children of the flesh. But it was only children of the promise, the spiritual seed of Abraham, them only were partakers of the blessing. So Paul was showing us that to be counted as child of Abraham, son of Abraham, daughter of Abraham, you need to be, you know, a child according to the promise. We saw last time, we saw there were two children spiritually, Isaac and Ishmael. One was a spiritual son, a son of the promise. The other one was a son after the flesh, a result of a doubt to the promise of God. And that reproduced all along the time. In the time of the flesh of Jesus Christ, these two seeds manifested, one according to the flesh, one according to the spirit. And today, these two spirits are still manifesting. So we are going to look at another aspect of it. Just a reminder, that was a small reminder of what we did, what we spoke about. You know, what made the children of Israel, the Pharisees and all those believers of that time, what made them to miss to see that Jesus was the Messiah they were waiting? Because they were good people. They were, you know, sanctified people. They didn't just wake up one morning and say, we are going to reject the Messiah. They were sincere. They were praying. They were there singing in their temples, fasting. Don't believe that these people, the Pharisees and all those people, when they were coming to challenge Jesus, they were doing it by, you know, animated, you know, by wickedness and some type of... No, they were sincere. They believed that they were serving God. They were really trusting that what they were doing was pleasing to God. Amen. Amen. They were trying to their best of their knowledge to be in the will of God. But what made them not to recognize the Messiah in their day? That's what we are going to see. Amen. In the few weeks. What made them to miss, to understand, to see the coming of the Lord in their day? Amen. And we are highlighting these things because, as we said, we are living, spirits don't die. What was then will be again. You can blame the Jews for crucifying Jesus Christ. The prophet says, preach the sermon, you know, indictment. Accusing this generation of crucifying Jesus for the second time. What they did then, it's happening again today. So don't think you are, you know, special, that it can't happen to you. Don't think your sincerity is what it takes for you to see the promise of the Lord in your day. They were sincere. They were trying to please God. but they missed it. What made them to miss it? That's what we are going to see. First of all, it was fantasies, representations of the Word of God. Sometimes when they were reading the Word of God, most of us, when we come to the Word, we bring with us our background. We come to believe the Word, but we bring with us all that we have accumulated all over the years. And when we read the Scriptures, we see the Scriptures through the glasses of our background. Amen. That's one of the things that makes you miss the Word of God, miss the promise. You know, the background, the traditions, the church they came from, public belief, public opinion has a lot of influence on what, you know, your understanding of the Bible. What was the public opinion that time? This boy was born, his mom was not married yet. You know, his mom got pregnant when she was not married yet to her husband. Whether they cheated, him and his husband, they get engaged in something before they were allowed to do it, or she cheated her husband. So that was public opinion. That was public belief. And all these things were interfering with the understanding of the promise. They couldn't really see clearly the fulfillment of the promise because of public opinion, because of their public belief, because of the churches they were coming from. Whether they were from the Pharisees' tabernacle, or from the Sadducees' church, or from the Zealots, or from which other group. You know, even the politicians, even politics of the day, the Herodians there, they were the politicians. Because Herod himself was not a believer, but he had his church as well. The Herodians were there, and they had their views of what the promise for that day meant. So all this influence created a cloud, created some lenses, and through those lenses, they could see Jesus, but based on their understanding of the Word, based on the influence of their background and everything, they couldn't see exactly who he was. Are we together? Amen. There's so many things that can be said. Same thing with us. When we come to the Word, some of us will get to that. So all these fantasies, all these wrong, false representations of the fulfillment of the Word of God brought them into confusion. Amen. When you don't have the correct understanding, that's why Jesus, amen, the first doctrine he ever preached was you have to die and be born again. Amen. Amen. Because once you come into the Word, with all your background, you have to die to that background and have a new vision. That's why Jesus preached that the kingdom belongs to children. Because they've not been to any school yet. They've not been to any church yet. They have a virgin faith. And on that faith, they could now look and see the promise of God clearly. They have no any influence of any traditions. Amen. Because if you bring those lenses and you start now looking at the Word of God, you will see red when it says white. Why? Because of your background. That's why they had confusion about even to understand who is God. When Jesus would tell them, me and the Father are one, they'll try to stone him. Why? Because of their background. Who is the Son of God? They say, you are making yourself equal to God. Because they didn't know the difference between God and the Son of God based on the church they came from. Who is the Messiah?
the Sabbath, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. They were so confused. When Jesus said the kingdom is in your midst, they said, of course, yeah, the kingdom is here, but what are the Romans still doing here? Why? Amen. Because they couldn't understand, they couldn't make a difference based at because of the lenses of their background. They came with all their burdens. They came with all their baggages of knowledge. That's why, my brother, my sister, get yourself stripped off completely. Amen. To understand this, to see the kingdom of God, get stripped out completely. Amen. And that's why the prophet, when he saw the vision of his ministry, he had to plant in empty buckets. You see, you remember that vision. He had to plant in empty buckets because the other buckets that had seeds in them, anything planted there, they couldn't go up. They couldn't go high. But in empty buckets, it went straight up into the heaven. Amen. That's why in the days of Jesus, they could read the scriptures and have their own understanding. They say, when the Messiah will come, the valleys will be exalted. But you see, the valleys in Wicklow Mountains, they are still valleys. We are waiting for the valleys to be exalted. We are waiting to the hills to be made low. We are waiting to the glory of the Lord to be revealed. For them seeing that man walking the streets of Jerusalem with dusty sandals, it was not the glory of the Lord being revealed. Based on their background, based on their understanding of the previous learning, the glory of the Lord for them, it has to come with thunders. It had to come with shouting. It had to come with, earthquake. Why? Based on their background. When we are talking about this, bring it today. In your mind, we are not talking history. I'm not trying to teach you history. They teach history in UCD. Amen. And Carlo University. I'm not talking history. I'm talking about today. So anything I'm saying, apply it to yourself. Today. Amen. And they were expecting a God, a Messiah that will come with vengeance. But how come a Messiah that come with vengeance be born in a manger, like a baby, somewhere there in an unknown town? They failed to see it based on their background. Everything they were reading was based on their understanding. But the children of the promise, those that went, that came through new birth, those that accepted to be stripped of everything, they saw it different. And they're partakers of the blessing. They became partakers of the adoption. Amen. Same thing with us today. We came to the message from many different backgrounds. Many of us here, if I ask you to close our eyes and think of God, every one of us is the representation of God. One will see a big man there with a long beard, with a long dress, white, and some other will see a Buddha sitting there with legs like this. Some other will see, a horse. Some other will see a ball of fire. And why? Based on the representations of our background. Some of us came from a Hindu background, like Sister Priya. Some of us came from a Muslim background, Catholic background, and almost all of us, we have a scientific background based on what you studied. So you have your representation of God. These are the lenses that will make you not to understand what God is doing in your day. Amen? We came from a Seventh-day Adventist. They have beliefs over there as well. Things in there. They see things in their own way. Jehovah Witnesses, Pentecostal, most of us came from Catholic. And we still have those representations where they say hell, we Close your eyes, think about hell. Someone will see, you know, a goat with a tail and some horns, and someone will see someone with a fork. These are all representations. Amen. And that have influence,
yes,
on what we believe. Because when the prophet says hell is on earth today, he's not talking about someone holding a fork. Amen. He's not talking about a fire. Hell is that girl there playing the festival, Taylor Swift or whatever. That the hell is talking about on earth today. It's beautiful. But if you only get rid of those glasses and look through the word of God, then you will understand. Amen. That's why the understanding of today's promise. If you don't get rid of your previous knowledge, of your science, of whatever you have been taught, we have come to the message, it's a new beginning. We are in a new age. It's a new day. And it takes children who are born, who are willing to get rid of all their background and to come and be taught of the Lord. Then you'll understand the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When they are talking about the coming of the Lord, then you will understand why they missed to see the coming of the Lord in their days and what is the coming of the Lord in your day. Then you'll understand what the resurrection of the dead is. Because you say, we are waiting for the resurrection of the dead. But what is the resurrection of the dead? Amen. Is it true, your science, that someone was put in a morgue and he will come out and he will wake up again and walk? Is that the resurrection of the dead we are talking, the Bible is talking about? Amen. So all these things, I'm calling you, I'm inviting you to go on your knees and pray that God should remove all those lenses. Amen. Based on our tradition, everything we have accumulated, because it's stopping you from seeing the word of God being manifested in your day. Amen. What is the shout? What is the voice? What is the trumpet? You say, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. He'll come with a shout, a voice, and the trumpet. What is it? Because if you don't know what it is, the voice, the shout, and the trumpet may happen today, and you won't see it. Why? Because you are wearing your lenses. You are looking at it according to your traditions. Amen. What is the rapture? Amen. I'm going to stop on that one. Let's talk a little bit, just an introduction, about, amen, what the rapture is. What if I ask you to close our eyes and let's think about the rapture. Many of us here, look at what you're going to see. Amen. Amen. When we talk rapture, many of us, this is what we are going to say. And you are right. You are right, because this is what we have been taught. With your clothes, with your high heels and the stuff, you are going. This is what public opinion is. This is what scientific opinion is about rapture. But my brother, this is what they had in their days when they told about a coming Messiah with vengeance. They're expecting, they had some representation of the Messiah so that they missed to see it. Amen. If your vision, your understanding of the rapture is still this one, my brother, I'm afraid that you are on a path. You are on a pathway to miss the true rapture. Are we together?
Amen.
Am I making myself clear?
Amen.
Amen. Because it's a matter of dimensions. It's not a matter of location. Next week, I'm going to talk about dimensions. I know Pastor spoke about dimensions in the past few months or years, but I'm going to just build on what Pastor spoke about to understand why they missed their day, their visitations in their day. Because it's about dimensions. It's not about locations. Amen. This is location. People, when they think about rapture, they think about changing location. No, it's changing dimension. It's something that's happening in a different dimension. Amen. So when we are talking about rapture, my brother, my sister, I'm inviting you today to get rid of this type of images. This is not rapture. Amen. People are expecting planes to crash on, you know, car parks because the pilot will have been raptured. You know, this pilot has been raptured and the plane just boom, chaos, you know. This is taken from a movie, Left Behind. I don't know if any of you have watched that movie. I took these pictures from that movie. It's very, very scary, you know. In an airplane, you see people with just clothes left there. And, my goodness. People running away all the way, and this is rapture, you know. This is rapture. If this is your representation of rapture, my brother, my sister, next time, next week, we're going to, let me just read a few things before we. No, it's time. We're going to talk about it next time, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for granting us this good privilege to come and fellowship around the world again. And we thank you for giving us a prophet today. Because if we didn't receive this message, we would have still that same understanding. When the Bible says that there's going to be a trumpet, we'll be expecting a literal trumpet to sound. We'll be expecting things to happen literally, O Lord, based on our tradition, based on what we have been taught, O Lord. But you have come to introduce a new day. You have made on us shine a new sun, O Lord. That sun has opened our eyes to spiritual things so that we can have a spiritual understanding of heavenly things, O Lord. Bless your people, Heavenly Father, as we'll be partaking of this topic. Open up our eyes, O Lord, so that we will understand, we'll, you know, learn lessons, O Lord, from what they did before us, how they failed to understand, to recognize their day and their message, and let us not fall in the same pit, O Lord. We thank you. Bless now the rest of the service in the name of the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.